know, some mad stuff. You know, people's leg really growing in service. Oh my God, like, as soon as Chilivera shook the world, it was in USA now.
Yes,
I think it was every day for a year.
Yes.
For a year. So imagine seeing signs and wonders every day for a year. The extreme, I won't call it an extreme because I want to see it in my life. I want to see it in my life, I won't call it an extreme, okay, man?
Yeah.
What do you want to see? Go and call it an extreme. But what happened eventually was that there was that, and then people said the word of God wasn't taught. And so they clamped down on it. Of course, at that period, people were also eating grasses. Grasses, people were eating grasses, chopping banana, chopping these, sowing seed for what do you call that thing? Sowing seed, I think, for some grease or something like that. It was happening. And so what happened next? And during that period in time, was just after that period. See, God's plan has always been to bring the word and the spirit together. And so at that point, also grew up Joseph Ababalola. Can't read on him. I watched this video of his wife. Amazing clip. You'll be scared of. He was on fasting. He was raising the dead. I didn't know English. He was just Yoruba. During that period in time, Bessie was too far apart from their deal. But it was during that period we now had the Pentecostalism. So people were now able to see that there is really no dichotomy between, just as we're looking at the Trinity as one person in three cases, that's how some people are looking at it. There's no dichotomy between the Word and the Spirit. This is what I'm saying. There are some places where it's only the word. They're only very sure about the hermeneutics, the word, how it's taught, the interpretation, and there is little of the move of the Spirit. But the Spirit is how we do the word. You see in the word, laugh, rejoice. The Greek word for laugh, there is agalio. Okay. How do you do the agalio? This is what I'm saying. So I'm saying that we're talking about Trinitarianism. That the thing is that because people were so much fixed on the how the Bible to be interpreted, there were just a lot of different interpretations of the Bible. They're just people saying, in fact, there's a guy, we're going there very soon, Arius. Arius, A-R-I-U-S, we're going there very soon. He's the one that led this movement we are seeing now called, I'm not in church, the Jehovah's Witness. Who believe it's Jesus, but it's not God. It's not Lord. There's only one God. So they go to Genesis chapter, John chapter 1. Again, if you read it, it's something that, well, you should think about it too. Of course, John chapter 1 had gone through the Latin Vulgate translation. Of course, you know that was written in Greek. But it's translated in Latin. So of course, when they translated it into English, of course, there will be errors. So they translated it into English, they missed out a lot of text. The beginning was the word was with God, the word was a God. Because apparently he uses the word was God. But again, they said there was a pronoun there in the Greek that wasn't put in the Hebrew, in the English. In the English. And put in the beginning was a God. So a God was a God became flesh. And that's very stupid. Because if you say that, that means you don't believe in the incarnation of Jesus. If you don't believe in the incarnation of Jesus, you cannot believe in his resurrection. Are you guys understand what I'm saying? So our understanding of, say everybody has become serious.
Oh,
our understanding of Trinitarianism is that we have to know that God is divine and is human. So the modalism believers is wearing different masks. Sometimes it's God the Father. Sometimes it's God the Son. So another time it's God the Holy Spirit. The second guy is the Sabellianism. That guy was a priest. His name is Sabellius. He was a priest in the 3rd century who taught that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit were not distinct persons in the Trinity. And there's only one God who has manifested himself in different modes. In different modes. So he rejected the Trinity. Stated that, you know, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit were not distinct persons in the Trinity. And that there is only one God. who has manifested himself and has appeared in different forms or in different modes. Are they not very similar? Look at modalism, sabellianism. But the Trinity people are saying there is one God, but there are three distinct persons. Are you learning something? There is the Spirit of God, there is Jesus, and there is God who dwells in unapproachable light, whom no one can see or can see. I think your understanding of Trinity should change so it helps you better. When we say things like Jesus was praying, of course, he was praying to the one who dwells in unapproachable light. Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
And why was he praying? Of course, Jesus is on earth. He cannot turn your will. The only person who can do that is God. You know, Jesus had to convince people now.
Yes, yes.
When he saw Peter, he didn't say, "Phew, follow me." I said, "Yeah, I will follow you." Of course not. You know why Simon Peter will follow him? Because of the fact they used their boat. Jesus caught plenty of fish. They say, what? He did not only show us how to catch fish. He became the fish. And we're going to follow him. So of course they had their motives. So the Bible said that Jesus prayed. So you know why we are praying? It's because we believe in the sovereignty of God. We believe in the awesomeness of God. We believe that God can turn situations around. So imagine you're trying to preach to somebody for a long time. The person is not accepting it. He's not believing it. And you bow your knees to pray. It's because you believe that you know that there is a God who can shine the light. Are you guys learning something?
Yes, sir.
Are you guys learning something?
Yes,
so that helps us in our understanding of God. The adoptionism, we've spoken about that, they believe that Jesus Christ was adopted. That Jesus Christ was adopted. So what are the three again of Trinitarianism? We have modalism, adoptionism. Adoptionism is an heretical theology that claims that Jesus was God's adopted son. They believe that because of Jesus' sinless life, God chose him and adopted him. So they believe that the reason why Jesus was chosen was because he was sinless. Modalism. They believe that God exists as one person who shifts between three faces. One for the Father, one for the Son, one for the Holy Spirit. So God the Father in the Old Testament is very difficult. God the Son is full of grace and truth. Have you heard that before? And God the Holy Spirit is the one that comforts. But it's the same God. Are you learning something? Are you learning something? It's the same God. The Bible says God cannot lie. It says God cannot be tempted. It says God cannot be tempted with evil. It says any man is tempted. He can't be tempted of God. So James explains to us what happens. That's what we ended last day. James explains to us what happens in Genesis 3. He says that temptation was not of God. Did God know? Of course, he is God. But you know what? He gives man his ability to make a choice. I will tell you something. Of course, is God omniscient? Of course, he is. But God, I like the way somebody explains it. God looks at all the probabilities of man doing the wrong thing and he catered for it. You see what I said? It's not that God did not know, it's that God knew and God created all the avenues, probabilities of saving man, even if man is going to commit that sin. So if Adam and Eve did not still sin, who will still win? God will still win eventually. God never lost. See, that is the message of Christology. That's the message of the gospel. God never lost. You know, it looks like making the sin. Wow. So like, there's emergency. Wow. In heaven. Oh my God, what am I going to do? I'm seeing Yoshukura here. She has accepted my friend. to Angel Shukunu. You know? And it looks like there was an emergency, but there wasn't an emergency. Nothing catches God off guard. The word says that Omema see. God is always see. You're not getting it. God is always on time. God doesn't only see the present, guys. God sees the past, the present, and he makes provision for the future. Let me show you something that will blow your mind. Look at Genesis 22. Are you learning something?
Yes, sir.
So Christology is not that God did not know what to do. Christology is that in spite of God's force, God has always provided a man. He has always provided somebody to save the world. We are not serving a dead God. We are not serving an insufficient God. We are not serving a God who is bipolar. We are serving a God who is not changing. He's fixed. He's firm. He's faithful. Hallelujah. Praise that God. Is the characteristics of God. That's why we believe that the God we are serving is one true God. Because he can't change. Hallelujah. If he changed in the resurrection, it means that's not God. Are you hearing me?
Yes,
he couldn't have changed in the resurrection. We just changed in the resurrection. Our disposition wasn't changed. Hallelujah.
Praise
See, God. It's God that loves us. See, God doesn't need the best love. Are you hearing me? He's a, who was existing in time before he created heaven and earth? But God loves us. This love is not, it's not the romantic one. It's not that, see, as much as, I mean, the emotion, I don't know, God has emotion now, yes, it does. I mean, there will be emotions. But see, it's not boy, girl, after some time, boy or the girl. It's not that one. It's that God is saying, in spite of Victor's flaws, challenges, mistakes, errors, he has made provision for it. Are you hearing me? Somebody says, what if I go to the wrong school? Don't go to the wrong school in Jesus' name. Be led by the Spirit of God. But God will also make provisions to ensure that he brings you back into his will. I'm not saying, man, if you can voluntarily disobey God, what is the children of Israel do? God forsook them. I'm not saying this. I'm just saying, see, you need to be able to see God beyond. God is somebody who has always made a provision. He's like always on, like nothing catches him off guard. See, if you're in court now, one was called the prosecuting counsel, the defense counsel, and then they bring a guy, he killed somebody. And in defense, you know, there's a way that, you know, you bring all your witnesses and all your evidence, and then the defense counsel is the one defending him. Prosecution is the one that will bring up a lot of evidence that he was the one that did this. Of course, the defense will bring two, but prosecution is the one that asks prosecutors to ensure that he's the one that did this. So, as prosecutor is bringing all his witnesses, all his cards, let's say that the defense counsel already knows. Then he brings out one card, and the defense counsel is like, oh, no will. Like, he calls me off guard. That's not the same about God. God is our defense counsel lawyer. He already knows what that guy, he already knows the card. Do you get, it's not like he's going to just see the card. God already knows the card that he's going to bring. He already knows the card that he's going to bring. Hallelujah. So when devil brought the card of sin, the card of shame, and brought the card of oppression, God brought out the card of justice. The card of righteousness. So we can now look, we can now appear. See, so it's not, the person that is condemning us is not God. You see, God's not the one. God didn't condemn Cain when Cain killed Abel. You know, he still called out to Cain and said, Cain, where's your brother? Even though he knew that Cain had killed Abel. He wasn't condemning him. He didn't condemn Abel. He didn't even condemn Noah. He didn't condemn Abraham too. After God gave Abraham a promise, he still sealed with circumcision. Abraham still was going to sleep with Hagar. He did not condemn him. You know who was condemnation? It's the voice of the enemy. The voice of sin, death, defeat. So when those voices come to your mind, you shout and say, no, I'm of God. That's the card. That's the ticket. Hallelujah. Then someone comes to your room, appears with what is it called now? With broom. Say, this is how, this is how, this is how. this. See, you don't have to bring out any card. You just bring out the card and the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That's all he needs to hear. Hallelujah. See, there are sometimes it's not. I'm not saying don't say the name of Jesus, but see, Bible says Ephesians 1 that he has raised up, Ephesians 2, he has raised us up together. He's not only raised us up together, he made us sit together. That means the authority Jesus has, he doesn't have it for himself, he has it for his church. It's for us now. Have you? And not just for us posting on Twitter, I have the authority of Jesus to control that was a class. They've not dealt with it. It's to use it. Hallelujah. When things are not going the way it is, it's to speak the words of faith. I'm born of God. Hallelujah. John says, this is the victory that overcometh the world. He says, even our faith. So we have overcome the world. The challenge is the same problem. And God is the one that made us overcome it. Hallelujah. So God is not a face, he's not changing his mask. He's not Spider-Man today, Batman tomorrow. God is the same. Yesterday. That's why a lot of Hebrews said in Hebrews 13, it says Jesus is the same. Yesterday, today, forever. Of course, they know what it meant. That Jesus has an everlasting covenant. Cannot change. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm not saying forever. Oh, see, hold down. When I'm not saying forever, I'm not saying forever. I don't care. The Bible says that the person who anchors my salvation is Jesus. Hallelujah.
Praise God.
So whether the anchor decides to say he wants to leave the anchor, let him leave the anchor. I choose to believe his word. Hallelujah.
Praise God.
So, where were we? Genesis 22. God takes Abraham to the mountain. Look at what Abraham says in verse 3. Verse 5. And Abraham said to his young men, he says, stay here with the donkey, the lad, and I will go yonder and wash him, and we will come back to you. And they were going to go and offer sacrifices. And then the servant was like, you are going to go and offer sacrifices. Where is the scene of the sacrifice? I'm very sure Isaac was already looking at his dad. I hope he's not a rough player. They play. Then I say, daddy takes him there. That is him. One life. I'll never forgive. Yeah? Even if we come back together, I'll never forgive you. He say, let's go somewhere together. I say, don't worry, daddy. I'm fine. I'm alright. What if the Lord does not provide this time? That's how you spill my blood. Look at verse. Where will we? Look at verse 12. Verse 11, but the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, and so he said, here am I. And he said, do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him for now. For I know that you fear God, so you have not withheld your son, your only son from me. Look at verse 13. Then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and behind him was a what? Ram caught. God has always made a provision. What Abraham needed to do was just to see it. Look at what he now says in verse 14. He calls the place Jehovah Raha, Jehovah Jireh. Jireh actually means the one that foresees. It's from the word Raha, the one that sees before and makes provision. Like, I already know before, and that, okay, Risa is going to probably need to stay in the hostel. It's like 500 level, it's just in 200 level now. And I go and make a provision in advance. That's who God is. Hallelujah. Yes. So go back to Galatians 3. Yes. Can we learn you something?
Yes, sir.
So is God not good? He is. God is good. God is good. Hallelujah. Galatians chapter 3.
You will not suffer my foot to be moved. I carry your presence everywhere. Woman be so full of mortal man. Awesome God.
Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Galatians 3. Yeah. Look at, let's start from verse 1. Are we learning something, guys?
Yes, sir.
Are we learning something, guys?
Yes, sir.
So Christology is to show us the provision of God. It's to show us the provision of God. My God cannot change. My God did not change face. I read some bits, you know, about the Islam stuff, and I was just really shocked. The person you're even serving, he said he appeared to you in a mountain.
you don't know anything. He gave you a creed. You don't know how to write. He gave you a creed to, and you to believe it. And they have so many things that are not very similar. You know, David, in their religion, I've not read so much about it. But one thing I know is that the Bible is so coherent. Hallelujah. We are serving. It says the Lord our God is what? He's one. Hallelujah. He's not bipolar. That's why the believer cannot be bipolar. Do you understand? Do you understand what I'm saying? And like today now, yeah, extremely smile. Tomorrow, yeah, frown. Next tomorrow, yeah. Yeah, sad. Another day, yeah, frown. Paul says rejoice always. So that means that the believer's atmosphere every day is that of joy. Hallelujah. I mean, things are not going well. You don't have what you need. You don't have the money to spend. But you are still full of joy. Because our joy cannot be in on the material resources. So that's why, see, how much is, think about it, how much is RAM that Abraham cannot buy? Abraham is stupendously rich. You guys know now, he has slaves. So it's not just one RAM. Abraham knows that my life is beyond the material resources. God's revelation to me is beyond money. These things are vanity. Lord, I'm going to offer up my all. Hallelujah. That's what informs our service. God doesn't need my money. Hallelujah.
Praise God.
He doesn't need me to exist. But because I know that God gave his son Jesus to die for my sins, I'm going to give my all to him. That's why you see, I don't think I have that note, men who were crucified after the resurrection of Jesus. Some they were battered, some they were bruised, some they threw them into hot oil. Some they nailed them to the cross. Some they threw them into, what is it called, this lion's den. But no, God did not save them. You're shocked. I thought he was going to, but he did not. But they chose to believe in the integrity of the word. That is, whether God does it. See, that's the thing about Abraham. Abraham knew. God told him that he was going to have many seeds. Right? But Abraham knew that if I give God one child, I'm giving him my all. But I see, whether it happens or it don't happen, I believe that God is faithful. The writer of Hebrews says that by the immutability of his counsel, God, by two immutable things, he says it is impossible for God to lie. Hallelujah. So when those guys were going through persecution and after, you know, Jesus was raised from the dead, you think that, you know, for every persecution they were going through, God was going to save them. That's why the writer of Hebrews writes the books of Hebrews. He was telling them that, I know you guys are going through intense persecution, but hold on. That's why he had to go through Hebrews 11. He says, don't worry. I know it is looking like God is not saving those people that are persecuting, but if he has done this before, he's still going to do it again. When they threw Daniel into the lion's den, let me tell you something. Daniel could not have thought that God was going to save him. He would have believed, but have thought, you don't get it. You know, lion's den is not there. Meow, meow, meow. As soon as they threw him inside, his heart would have been very fearful. But he just trusted. Hallelujah. Those guys, what about the Hebrews boy? Those Hebrews boys says that whether you like it or not, we're not going to bow. They said, we're not going to bow to the gods of this world. Why did they say that? Because they knew that God cannot lie. If God cannot lie, and this Bible contains the word of God, it means everything there is true. So if he says that when you preach the gospel, signs and wonders are going to follow, it's correct. If he says you heal the sick, they did not get you. Don't worry, I know the first thing that's happened to. There were people who also after the persecution were not saved. But you know what? You go and heal more. For everyone that is not healed, there are 10 months that can be healed. For every blind eye that does not see, there are more eyes that will see. Hallelujah.
Praise God.
So God is not, that's not the kind of. So God is not, God does not lie. And the proof that God does not lie was he became a man. Philippians 2 says that God was in the form of God. He taught it not to be equal with God. He says he laid down his reputation. He says he suffered for us. Are you hearing me? God. See, God suffered. Like, that looks like an irony. Or what are the words they put?
put together that cannot stand. See, as this is now. Paradox. God. Possible. But know what? He chose to do that. Hallelujah.
Praise God.
God is not multifaceted. God is the God that we can always rely and depend upon. That's why when you go and preach the gospel to a Muslim, once in the third time, do you believe God can kill you? I say, he's God, he can do anything. Do you believe he can die tomorrow? He's God, he can do anything. Of course, we know that God can do anything, but God chose to rely on his word. Psalms 91. You know what Psalms 91 says? He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall what? Abide. You know what the secret place is? The secret place is where Bible says Colossians chapter 3. It says you are hid in Christ. In God. So we're in God's secret place. As much as we have to have prayer life.
Amen.
And study. You know, the writer of the Psalms, that is David, is comparing the wars. And says even when the wars come, he says you are in God's secret place. He says, no weapon shall fashion against you. He says, every tongue that rises against you shall be condemned. He says, by the Lord's righteousness. That's been my stuff since. He says, you shall be established. I'm established in God's righteousness. Isaiah 65 says that those that establish in righteousness are going to be planted. They will bear much fruit, like that of Lebanon. Hallelujah. He says, we'll enter God's courts with praise. Our mouth will be full of singing. Anytime they say, let us go into the house of the Lord. Don't want to go into the house of God because we are now free. Hallelujah. Better say that we are no longer slaves to sin. We are now children of God. Hallelujah. We can now say with boldness, I'm a child of God. I'm born of the kingdom. Hallelujah. John 3:1, Nicodemus came to ask Jesus a question and says that, Jesus, you are a teacher sent, but no man can do these miracles that you do except God be with him. Verse 2, Jesus says that except man be born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. Nicodemus says that, in a word, man, are you telling me I'm going to enter into another man come back? And Jesus says that, he says, very bad, except the man be born of water and the spirit, he cannot see the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, that which is born of spirit is spirit. He says, marvel not. He says, how can this be this be we? He says, the wind blows where it listed, where it blows, but I cannot see, but you can hear the sound or understand where it's coming from. He says, how can this be? He says, marvel not that I tell you. Are you not a Pharisee? He says, just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so the Son of Man will be lifted up. He says, and whosoever believes in him will have eternal life. You know what eternal life means? Eternal life. So when this earth goes into extinction, I cannot perish. Hallelujah. And that's the confidence we have about our friend. He's no longer with us in the body, but we believe God's word. That's with the host of angels in heaven. Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Although we didn't want it to go now, amen. But we know that in the second resurrection, we are going to see him again. Hallelujah. So Paul says, don't mourn like those who don't have hope. Oh, come on, we have hope already. Hallelujah. We have hope. I may not have the money I need now, but I have hope. Hallelujah. He says, Abraham believed, hoped against hope. And God tells you at age 90 something. Sorry, take a rest there. Abraham, that you're going to have a child at age 90.
God, they play. He
says, but he did not consider the deadness of his body or the deadness of Sarah's womb, but he believed that God was able to say or do what he has promised. So he believed, hoped against hope. The Christian faith, Christology, is us having faith. I have not seen Jesus before, but I believe in. Hallelujah!
Praise God.
And this man say, how did you? Do you really believe that God exists? I'm just wasting your time. He said, God does not exist. God does not exist. God does not exist. You are moved by things that you see, you feel, you touch. But we have moved beyond that. I've moved beyond. EWK says we have moved beyond the sense realm. We are now in the revelation realm. Hallelujah! Where we can see things, know things, perceive things, pick things up by the Spirit. Hallelujah. Praise I'm a student, but I'm also supernatural. Hallelujah. Imagine I don't know my role. You know the person's name.
say now say you don't know God. Oh God, forget that one. You pray for somebody that has IV and the person gets you. You pray for somebody's leg, the person's leg grows out. The person says there's no God. Oh God, forget that one. Even if there's no God, don't worry, I've aspired all the things of the supernatural. Hallelujah. Somebody calls you at night and says, give me an utterance. And you are even just sleeping at night. And you tell the person what is going on with the person, oh God, there is God.